Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you will join us today. Indeed, there is a word from the Lord for you. I'm excited because I tell you, it's a day or two days, amen. Mm-hmm. And we'll be heading over to our new location, amen.
Man.
Have the keys in our hand. Da, 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 da. Yes. So we're looking forward to that. Prophetess and I have been talking about all the things that we need to do, and we'll be sitting down and looking at our schedule and how we'll be putting everything together so that we can continue our kingdom lifestyle, amen.
Amen.
And as we move and expand the kingdom of God, amen. So we're looking forward to this, and you know, I'm excited. But before I go too far, I digress, and we turn it over to Prophetess Crystal, who is going to give us our morning announcements and our prayer. Prophetess.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is our website, and we invite you there to visit us, learn more about us, amen, and the ministries that we cover. If any of you by chance need prayer, or you just want to visit the website, see our videos, or if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come minister at any of your churches, please go to our Contact Us page located at the top of the website. Click there, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within 48 hours. Amen. God bless. Also want to let you know that we have Facebook pages. Go to our Facebook page and like us there. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. And also known as WOPD.
Yes.
Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Let us also know what God is doing in your life. We would love to hear from you there. For those of you who have been following us, thank you. God bless you. We are praying for you, you, and you. Those who have been supporting us financially as well as through prayer. We believe that God is going to continue to bless you. We believe that God is going to help you fulfill your assignment and your destiny in his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. More good news to come. Stay with us. Stick with us. Amen. We're excited. And now let us pray and then prepare our hearts to receive the word on this morning from none other than my apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we, your people, come this morning, and first of all, we say thank you. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for letting us be in our right mind. Thank you, Lord, that you have protected everything around us, that when we woke this morning, that we found nothing out of order. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that has covered us all throughout the day, all throughout the evening, and even into the morning. Now, Lord, as we come, we just magnify, we just glorify your name. We lift you up. We thank you for another chance. We thank you for your grace and mercies that are following. We thank you for your protection, your strength, your love, and your power. Now, as we come, we humble ourselves at your right hand. Father, we just ask and invite the Holy Spirit to come this morning and begin to minister as he sees fit to the lives of your people. Father, in Jesus' name, we're asking that as this word goes forth, that it will begin not only to cut, but that it will begin to encourage. Not only will it tear down, but that it will begin to build. Not only will it begin to break, but that it will also begin to heal. Oh, God, we thank you now. We ask for forgiveness of all sins. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Forgive us for every sin of omission and commission, God. Father, put our feet on the pathway of strength. Anoint us, God, to complete the ministry. Anoint us, God, to complete your assignment. Anoint your people, God, to give them strength so that they can be refreshed again and again and again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we ask that you would touch the man of God who is going to minister this word on this morning. Father, we ask that you would just impart into him revelation and knowledge. Let him bring forth fresh manna from heaven this morning. Father, our hearts are prepared to receive. Our hands are uplifted before you. We give your name praise. We give your name glory. And we give your name honor. We thank you for every sign, wonder, and miracle. And we thank you for every soul that will be saved and touched. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for that wonderful prayer. I will tell you all that we do have our first event that will be at our new location. And that will be on July... It'll be the weekend of July 18th and 19th, amen. That is the third weekend, amen. That'll be Women of Prophetic Destiny will be doing their fellowship. Every third weekend, amen, the Lord has given us to come together and to begin to build and to move towards the conference that Prophetess does every year, the major conference that she does. Amen. Mm-hmm. And we'll be giving you more information about that as we go along. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some things that we're going to be doing as it relates to the location. Amen. And we're praying, and Prophetess and I went and was doing a little shopping, if you will, window shopping, because there's certain things that we're going to need. Amen. In my schooling and training and everything, we've been working with TriCasters. And if any of you who know what a TriCaster is about 30,000 plus. Amen. But we found something that will work for us. With what we have, and it's closer to 1,000. Amen. Mm-hmm. we'll save 29,000 going this route. But it'll allow us to do some things that we're doing. So yes. For those of you who would like to receive copies of our broadcast, just simply on our contact page, When you hit information, let us know the date, amen, of the broadcast that you would like to receive a copy of. Amen. And you can get the DVD or you can get the CD. And we'll make those available to you. Now, at this time, we're not putting a price on it. Amen. We want the gospel to go out. But all of you know that it costs for the shipping labels and you know for the packaging and for postage and everything. So we ask that you just give us something that will help us with the cost. If the Lord lays on your heart to sow into this ministry, then you can do that as well. You know, we don't put an amount on there. We just say, do whatever the Lord puts on your heart so that we can get the material to you and that it can be a blessing to you.
Amen.
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 And all that will be, as our website is being updated, you'll find that a lot of those order forms and things will be there involved with it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, shifting gears, I just want to celebrate Prophetess Crystal. She had a wonderful event in Green Cold Springs, Florida. Amen.
Yes, amen.
On Thursday night. Shout out to Bishop Mark Jones.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And to Sister Kim and those who were there, who Sister Kim invited you, Bishop Jones is her pastor.
Correct.
And First Lady, of course, Jones was there as well. Amen. I don't want y'all to think Sister Kim and Bishop were married.
Right.
But she was there, and the Lord came in and moved mightily. Amen. I'm so happy that God allows us to go out and do different things and kingdom connections. And when Prophetess said, if you want for us to come, just let us know. We are serious about that. You know, I believe that when God gives us an assignment, then he takes care of the other things. Amen.
Amen.
And I found that when we try to set up a certain way, that it causes more problems than it does anything else.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, as I went over to Africa to visit our churches and deal with some of the business there, I find that they don't have the finances to bring in the level of ministry or the level of word or the level of, I don't want to say anointing, but let's use that word, that they need, because they are small or they don't have the resources. So the people who they would like to come don't come because there's no financial gain in it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times it costs you the gas to get there. It's $100, and you get there and your offering was $150. Well, to them, that's not enough money because they can't live the life they're trying to live. Well, listen, if God calls and God speaks to you and you are looking and you need someone to come and minister and the Lord lays us on your heart, contact us. Amen. If whatever we can do to spread the gospel is what our assignment is. Amen. And we're dedicated to that assignment. Amen. So I just want to let you all know that, because God is good and he's going to be good. Amen. But I can't have him challenge me and question me and then discipline me because I was running after the highest bidder. You understand? People are calling and someone wants me to come over here, and they how many y'all got in your church? Okay, these people over here want me to come. How many got? Oh yeah, that's the one right there. That's the one. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm not running after no money. Amen.
Yeah.
We're looking for quality, not quantity. Amen. So when we get somewhere and we see lives change and the power of God manifest, we know that we have done what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And God sends in the resources and things as they're needed. So I say that because it needs to be said. You know, there's too many preachers out here running after big gigs, if you will, so they can get big checks, but they're not doing the work. And no one's being changed. They're just taking a message from here and running it over there. And, you know, people haven't heard it yet, so it's new to them.
Yeah.
But that's not new word. That's old word regurgitated, you see. And, you know, you need people who are going to lay before the Lord and talk and seek his face concerning you. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're here for. Amen. Now, with that being said, let's get into this word. Y'all ready?
Ready.
Let's go. All right. Here, we've been speaking and ministering in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 1st verse, 2nd verse, amen.
Mm-hmm.
We came over to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. We ran by Colossians 3 and 1, amen. So we want to touch on 1st Timothy just to remind us where we're anchored.
Right.
Amen. And then we want to go to Deuteronomy. Amen. Because a lot of what I'm saying right now, you'll see it as we go back, amen, to 1 Timothy 6 and 5. Amen. And we'll probably start about the third verse. Amen.
Okay.
But let's do 2 Timothy now. And it's important for us to understand that as God is speaking to us and as God is saying these different things to us, that we have to be attentive to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Because what God wants us to do is to go forward and to spread the gospel. And we have too many people right now who are disseminating gospel of self. They're building a kingdom of I. If it doesn't have their name on it or they can't get any credit from it, then they don't want to do it. It doesn't matter to them because it doesn't represent them. And God is trying to get us to a place where we recognize that it's not about you, it's about him. Look at your neighbor and say, all the time it's about him.
All the time it's about him.
Huh? Say it again.
All the time it's about him.
Huh? So everything that you do is about him. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we say that and when we understand it, then we'll stop patty caking with certain things that the devil's doing. Amen.
Amen.
Huh? So what does it say in Ephesians 1:6 that we should be to the praise of his glory, his grace? Amen. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. When you understand that, amen, then you understand how he called you and why he called you and what is the purpose of your calling. And you're not looking for a new purpose now because you understand why I'm here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Paul here is talking to Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Since I charge you for one, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Number two, verse two, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Go on to the third verse. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Amen? So as we look at here, we see that Paul is telling him in no uncertain term that, you know, there's a time coming where it's going to be very difficult for you to deal with this gospel. Amen. While you're trying to deal with this gospel, the enemy of your soul has already set up falsehoods and other theological anomalies, if you will, that cause people to come in and see something that looks about right but has no substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an audio anomaly. Amen. Huh? When we're listening to something, we hear something in the audio track, or you happen to see a shadow or something visually. It is not really there, but it causes a glitch. If we're looking at something, I'll give it to you perfectly. On the movie, what was it, Matrix?
Mm-hmm.
Where the guy saw the cat and then he saw the cat again.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, ooh, that's weird. He said, what was that? It's like a deja vu. It's like a, they said, no, that's a glitch in the program. It lets you know when they're coming. Okay? So you learn how to watch out for all of those things. Amen? Listen, the same thing here. It looks real.
Yes.
But there'll always be something there that tells the truth of his truthfulness. It's not real. The enemy is a distraction. Or he causes this distraction. You have to understand that everything that he does is a mirror of the truth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all see that? God created, and Satan turns around and he takes creation and twists its purpose so that it doesn't mirror what it was created for.
Yes.
You see? The conversation with Adam and Eve, or with Eve in the garden with the serpent, was a twisting of a reality. Y'all see that?
Uh-huh.
Has not God said?
Yeah.
Well, God said, well, that's not what he really meant. What he really meant, because he knew, and there you go. When he begins to give you his definition for it, amen.
Correct.
Then you start to see how he's twisting it and turning it away from God's design truth. And so it is with the word of God, that nowadays people don't want to change or be changed. They're trying to do any and everything they can to get what they want without changing the life that they've been living. In other words, I want enough Jesus so I feel good about myself. But I don't want enough Jesus to change me because I sort of like who I am. This gospel is here to change you. It's going to challenge you. It's going to cause you to put off some worldly things, some worldly desires, and seek those things which are above.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we're really looking for. I'm not looking for something to tell me that I'm already good, because truth be known, all of us can look in the mirror and see our own flaws, shortcomings, and deficiencies. Amen. If you can't see nothing wrong with yourself, the first thing you should have saw was pride and arrogance. Amen? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. Amen? Knowing that then we can't be those of the third verse here. For the time will come where they would not endure sound doctrine. We find that there's not a lot of sound doctrine being preached nowadays. We got hyper grace. We got prosperity theology. We got all the rest of this. And let me tell you, hyper grace says that God loves you so much that he wouldn't punish you for being you. It is a lie. Jesus Christ came and challenged them where they was to come up higher to another level. Amen? Am I right about that?
Amen.
Huh? So how can you think for 1 minute that God won't challenge your mess? Yet and still, they fill churches up. Amen? If you go on the internet and you put in hyper grace, you'll start to see all these preachers that you normally see on your different religious broadcasting networks, the list of them. If you put in prosperity theology, you'll start to see those names come up, list of them. And you have subscriptions to them. You have their magazines. You have their books. You have all of that stuff is in there, because those people, once they started out loving Jesus. As they learned that there can be a living made from it, they wanted more of that living. So they started shifting the gospel to something that created more material wealth, not necessarily spiritual integrity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huh? For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Tell me that I can. The commercial always talk about with the Jaguar, you know, talking about it's good to be bad. See, I like that car. I really do. But I understand that I don't have to be evil in order to have good things, because God has already given me, amen, the wealth.
Yeah.
He's already given me the prosperity. All of those things that I should have, he's already designed them in his plan for my life. All I have to do is be obedient. And if I'm obedient, then I'll get what he has already given me. See, we forget. Galatians, the fourth chapter, that we're as children held under guardians and those who take care of what's already mine until such time as the Father has designed or has set that he should release it into my hand. Most of the time, you can't get what you need to get or what you want to get, amen. Let me say it like that more accurately. What you want to get because you haven't matured to that level yet. And once you mature, there's no problem with you having it. Amen. My son, I love him dearly, but at the age of 9 years old, he is not ready for a car.
Right.
So it would be foolish for me to give him keys to the car and say, baby, this, son, this is your car. Because I know he's not ready for it. If anything, he'll go out and wreck the car, hurt himself, or hurt somebody else. And I'm still liable for it.
Right.
So wisdom says, wait until he's old enough to get the car, and then make sure he's ready for the car, and then release to him the car.
Sure.
Now, that's natural wisdom. How much more than God being wise, huh? Wiser than us. Will hold some things off until we're ready to receive them. Amen? Y'all see it?
Uh-huh.
Huh? So you sitting there talking about God don't love you. He won't give you. No, baby. All you got to do is mature. Grow up. As you grow up, then you can receive what God has already set for you.
That's it.
Amen?
Thank you.
Look what it says. It says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. You want somebody, these people who run around prophecy, I want them prophesy my car, my house, prophesy my enemy up under my feet, prophesy. Jesus said if your enemy, you know, is hungry, feed them. He said if they smote you on the right cheek, turn, offer them the other one. They take your one coat, offer them the other one. Wait a minute, none of this says get up under my feet and you footstool and rest of that. Y'all got it all twisted, amen? And even what was being said when he said, come sit at my right hand till I put your enemies up under your footstool and all the rest of that, all of that is out of context how we use it today. Huh? We're sitting back trying to get people to think that because you did me wrong, God's going to come up. Wait a minute, they spit on Jesus. They better not act like they about to figure it out. You ready to fight, huh? They lied on him. Y'all ready to fight in the parking lot because somebody had your name in their mouth. You don't even know if it's good or bad. You just ready to go at it. Keep my name out your mouth. Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. Y'all ain't ready for this type of gospel because it says all of that selfish and self-centered behavior has got to die. Colossians, the third chapter, says, I died. When I came into Christianity, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I died. The life I now live is his life.
That's it. The real you.
Huh? Mm-hmm. So here I am talking about I'm living him, but I'm trying to keep me alive. No, you need to die, baby. Huh? Stop trying to make excuses for bad behavior, talking about the Lord. It's about the Lord ain't going to do nothing. Get in this word and learn what he said.
That's it.
Huh? We get in here, we'll see that he says, do not return evil for evil. Well, that just messed up a whole bunch of people right there in Romans, didn't it?
It did.
All this time you've been trying to tell people and show people that you got saved because and you're going to curse the ground and everything you touch is going to be cursed. God didn't tell you to curse nobody. We're supposed to be coming up and showing them life and life in Christ, and we're supposed to be demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. And yet and still, here we are still running around acting juvenile and childish. You simply need to get saved again and learn how to walk this walk the right way. But you can't do that if you run into teachers with your itching ears who are going to tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. See, churches that tell you what you need to hear won't be big, giant churches. Huh? Because they don't cater to your flesh. You see that? What they do is they tell you what you need to hear, why you need to hear, and then hold your feet to the fire until your lifestyle comes in alignment with that word.
Yeah.
But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Ooh, we got Dr. Reverend Apostle. Okay, stop. All those titles don't mean nothing if you can't manifest nothing after it. You got a title, but you have nothing to go on with it. Stop fooling yourself because some people around you trying to get more people around them with titles to validate their false title.
Yeah.
validated your false title. Huh? See? When you went through, tell me what you went through. Huh? Each one of the apostles went through something. There was a time of development. There was a process that they went through. There was some matriculation that they had to go through in order to get to the level where they are as spiritual fathers, spiritual leaders, those who walk in the office, not just the title of the fivefold.
Yes.
Ascension gifts. Why ascension? Because those are the gifts set by God to help the body of Christ come up to another level.
Amen.
The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher, huh? That we may equip, that we may edify, that we come into unity. You see that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All of those things right there are things that bring us up to the next level. And there's five that were given to do that. Well, we got Dr. Reverend Bishop. Okay. You can have all of that, but after all is said and done, if there's no manifestation of edification, of preparing and equipping, huh? If there's no unity, huh? If there's no perfecting and coming to the fullness of the stature of Christ, then I don't care what your title is. You just got some words up there, but you don't have no manifestation in your life. You can't walk in an office that you did not go through a process to stand in. None of the apostles were called and left in their current state. Each one of them were called and had to walk the walk behind Christ and learn the lesson. Mm-hmm. And there was times when they got them, and I showed y'all this, when he sent them out and they did what he said and he called them apostles. And then when they did stupid stuff, they were called disciples. Huh? I showed y'all that in the scripture. Amen? So there's going to be times when you are going through the process where you'll show growth. And then there's times when your flesh will show up and we'll know that you have to go and do a little bit more growth. Amen? Huh? When you have arrived and nothing that you do is sub or par or below, then we know that you have gotten to a level that's greater than Jesus.
Wow.
He's the only perfect one and you better than him? Okay. All right. Huh? Get this together. They would turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure affliction, because they're going to come when you stand for something. You're going to go through some stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, listen here, because I don't want my time to get all the way away from me. After we begin to look at that, then we begin to see some things. And before I go over here, let me go back to, let me go to 1 Timothy 6. Amen. Let's start the third verse. Because when we talk about them not being able to endure sound doctrine, you have to understand the purpose behind them not enduring sound doctrine. What are these teachers and these fables? What is the purpose behind them? Well, let's read, okay? 1 Timothy 6 and 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine, you see that, which accords to godliness, remember what we just say, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. What sound doctrine? The doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, which accords with godliness. Okay? See this fourth verse? He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. It's a question of semantics. No, it isn't always. Sometimes God has already called us to something greater and something different, but you're so locked into where you're trying to go in your personal agenda for your life. Amen? You know it's your 3-year mark where you're going to be, your 5-year mark, your 7, your 10-year mark. You know 15 years from now where you're going to be, and you're just humming along real perfect according to your plan, and you want God to bless your plan. But what happens when his plan interferes with your plan? Huh? Peter and them are out on the water, fishing, doing what they do. He has a family and everything else. They have households that are responsible, that they're responsible for. And here comes Jesus. Hmm? We've been fishing all night. Ain't got nothing. Well, let's launch out just a little bit. And then he ministers to the people on shore. And then he tells them, launch out a little into the deep for a catch. What? We've been out here all night. This is my trade. I know what I do. This, I'm good at this. I made a living. You see this boat that you just preaching in? I got this and paid for it by my skill at fishing. I know what I'm doing. But they didn't know who was on board. Amen?
Right.
So here's Jesus calling them, and they go out a little bit deeper. And as they do, he said, cast your net over the right side. They throw it over, and then they start calling for help because the nets are breaking. I'm not going to get into that. Jesus, when he appeared, notice he told them to throw their nets out, and this time their nets didn't break with the catch. When he came back, you see that? I'm not going to go there right now, but there's something in there I would love to share with y'all later. We got to stay the course now. Amen? So the thing is that as we talk about doctrine, we talk about sound doctrine. Amen? You got to understand sound doctrine will lead you to godliness.
Amen.
Amen? Holiness is still right. Huh? And holiness, let me say it like this. Holiness is not an ignorant statement. Amen. People feel that when you talk of holy and you getting happy about Jesus, that's just because they're not on our level. We've gone to school and, wait a minute, hold on. That has nothing to do with that. Your ability to get through school is tied to your ability to hear clearly God. Huh? The Holy Spirit helped you through some of those tests and exams that allowed you to get that master's, allowed you to get that doctorate, huh? There's some questions they asked you. If it wasn't for revelation, you wouldn't have the degree you got today. Mm-hmm. Huh? But holiness is something, well, you know, that's when I was younger. Okay, when I was younger, I didn't know some of the stuff I know today. And today I see the wisdom in some of the stuff from yesterday. Amen? Some things we learn to do a little bit better. Amen? I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. Amen? But the principle of holiness is still right. Amen. Look what it says fourth verse. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicion. Fifth verse, listen to this. Useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Well, Lord Jesus, what does that mean? It means that they learn the lingo. They learned how to say it right. They learned how to speak it right. But they didn't learn how to live the life. That's why you can go to a Bible college. But after you go to a Bible college and seminary, you still have to give your life to Christ. And if you have not given your life to Christ, then all you know is how to put things together because you've been taught how to put an opening on it. You've been taught how to give your 3 or 4 points. You've been taught how to summarize and close, but you still have not learned how to live the life that you speak about. So we got hypocrites in pulpits leading people because they learn how to speak properly, but they never learn how to live holy. Mm. Hello, somebody. Mm. This is something that you have to learn to do.
Yes.
Your relationship, not your religion, is what's going to save you. Amen?
Amen.
I know that's right. Hmm?
Amen.
So, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. The first thing I found when I went to Bible school is that they challenged Christianity. I think that's interesting because of all the things that they should have did, they should have strengthened Christian values, Christian morals, the word of God. The first thing they did was they went in and started talking about, well, you know, these were writings and they came from the Babylonian captivity. And how do we know that Moses actually wrote? Because some of the things that were said, if he wrote it, were sort of after his time. Wait a minute. So they were just attributed to Moses, but really not from All right. So all you're doing is you're going in and you're trying to take apart the Bible. Because if you can take apart the foundation of what we believe, then you can pick apart the things that we stand on and why we believe and stand on them. But let me say, after all is said and done, the word and the blood still work.
Yes, sir.
Huh? It is the word of God that we go to when we need a direction. And we look in the word and the word speaks to us. Mm-hmm. Revelation comes to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And as revelation comes to us, we have an understanding of where we need to go. What we need to do. Have you ever been in a place and you needed a word? And instantly when you needed the word, you turned and looked in your Bible and instantly, pow, there was the word that gave you understanding and clarity and direction which way you need to go. So now you don't have to worry about which way I need to go and what I need to do because the word speaks to you. And that's because the word is alive. Huh? The Bible tells us that the word is quick and powerful. Huh? It's alive. We understand that. And as we understand it, then when it speaks to your right now situation. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting that a logos, a written knowledge word, or a word that is full of logic, if you will, speaks to us in rhema, which is right now. It's a revelatory word. Huh? Only God could do that. Amen? So they learned the words. They learned the lingo. They learned the ministerial pauses and everything so they could speak and pause just at the right time so that you can feel that what they're saying. That's all wonderful. It sounds good. It moves you. It fills you with suspense. But after they have learned that, how do they live? If they're not living their life, forget the words that they said. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose, and this is the purpose, that godliness is a means of gain. In other words, they're trying to get rich off of you being godly. Mm-hmm. You see that? What's the last words? From such, withdraw yourself. In other words, don't hang out with them. Don't sit over there patty cake with them. Don't talk about that's just y'all over there, Doc. I just came to preach your word. I'm about to go back over to my flock. And you notice that some of these places, they don't let other people come in unless they are food like them. Now, I don't let everybody preach over here because, you know, I got to keep my people in line. Well, your people in line, you finally got them food into giving all their money to you. That's what you got. So now you don't want nobody coming telling them that Jesus already blessed them with every spiritual gift in heavenly places sitting Christ on the right hand. Okay, you don't want them to know that because then they'll stop giving you money and sowing into you to get a blessing that is already yours by right of your adoption. Ooh, I can't have them. They did that. It took me a while to get them back up to giving. Woo! I almost had to give my Mercedes back because I couldn't get the payments right. But then, you know, the Lord finally touched them and they started giving and I was able to settle that and the repo man didn't come down the driveway and park, you know, everything at the end. I wouldn't let them in the gate. You wouldn't let them in the gate because you living in one of those houses where they got to be let in order to get in. And there's no way in except you let them in.
True.
Going to a storefront church but living in a complex.
Yep.
You live on a compound, but you have a storefront. Okay. All right. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Oh, don't bring him over here preaching that to me. I want my people to know that they're going to sow the seed that's going to give them the wealth of the wicked, laid up for the righteous. And we the righteousness of God. Okay, wait a minute. Sit down. Shut it down. All that you're doing right there, huh? You so busy trying to get you some more stuff so you can live more of this life.
That's
that
it.
You're not trying to let go of this life so you can have the life that Christ gave you. Colossians 3, the life I've died, the life that I live, is now the life of Christ. Okay? So then it's interesting then when we go, let's go to Deuteronomy then. Deuteronomy 8, we're going to start the 15th verse.
Amen.
It says, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water? Who brought water for you out of the flinty rock? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you? Oh, the Lord don't like you, that's why you're going through? No, all of this is a test. All of this is part of your development. All of this is part of your matriculation. Huh? It's part of your processing. You see that? Huh? The water. He led you into thirsty land. 15 verse. You see that? So here you are complaining, Lord, if this was you, you wouldn't let me over here. I was dying of thirst. Blah, blah, blah. No, he led you there. Mm-hmm. Okay? Huh? Who fed you in the wilderness with manna? 16 verse. Which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, comma. What does it say right there?
To do you good in the end.
Wait a minute, say that loud.
To do you good in the end.
So then the test and the humbling of us was not for our destruction. It was not for our dismay. You understand? It was not so that we could become deficient. It wasn't so that he could demoralize. You see that? It was so that he could humble us. Huh? And then he could test and prove us. Why? To do good for us in the end. Huh? Then 17th verse, you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. See, the thing is the reason why you're going through all of that, and let me just pause right here and just paint this picture for you. We're going through some things and have gone through some things, and God has brought us to a place called now. Amen? And the place where we are called now is a place where we have learned how to trust in God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I shared with Prophetess, when we were up in Ohio, I was working as a police officer, and I was doing the projects and everything, and you were working and traveling, and I've been off work since 2008, and we went through some things, but we have more now than we had back when we were trying to hustle and work and project and do everything else back up there. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. God has blessed us trusting in him. And let me say this to you. I didn't want to leave the job. Amen?
Amen.
Prophetess would tell you. She's sitting right here. I remember sitting 2007 November. Mm-hmm. It was at IHOP in Lincoln, Nebraska with Apostle John Burpee and his wife. I still remember that Tanzanite ring she had. Amen. We were sitting there with them, and he said, man of God, God told me to tell you that next year he's calling you off your job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God says he has need of you full time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I receive that. I receive that word. I receive that. Thank you. In my heart, I was saying, woo, how are we going to make that much money without me having a job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found out that the more I made, the more I had to make.
Yeah.
When it comes down to God bringing me off the job, God made sure that he shut the door behind me, but he sustained me through the process. Mm-hmm. When you want to know whether or not what you're going through and what's happening with you is God. Are you being sustained through the process? Because no one goes through a process to be utterly destroyed.
Correct.
And if you're doing it and the enemy's doing it, it's for your destruction. Mm-hmm. Destroyed. Mm-hmm. When God is doing it, God is dripping off of you things you don't need on you that you thought you needed. Amen? Mm-hmm. But he's adding to you what you need so that you can continue on to do what he's called you to do. Because the life that you live, the faith walk that you're walking now, is predicated upon your trust and your relationship. Amen? And mm-hmm. as you develop that, then you can believe God greater. Mm-hmm. So you can do greater works. You see that? Your faith has to be tried and it has to materialize. You understand? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you got faith. Show me your faith by the works that were created by your faith. Since 2008, we've been living. Amen? I can't say every day was a good day, but I could say every day was a sustained day. Amen?
Amen.
Those who have come with us, God has bought them up as well. They come from having nothing to now having things and looking over the horizon at what they want to get.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to do better, to do greater. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love God for that. Amen. So then when he begins to bring you up, what we're talking about is the new location and the internet television and the streaming and the rest of that we're going to produce at that location with the ministry, amen. What we have to understand is that when we get to that point, it was not the, as it says here, the power and might of my hand that have gained me that. It was the favor of God. Amen.
Yeah.
You have to understand, the favor of God takes the place of finances. So if you're thinking that this is or isn't God based on the finances that you see, your faith is not involved. And if your faith is not involved, then you don't need a miracle. And if you don't need a miracle, then there's none provided for you to be sustained. So when you have to tell people who are going through rough times, hard times, that God can do above and exceedingly, you don't have any validity behind you because nothing that you did,
yes.
You see, was predicated upon what you couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
It was something you could do already. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Your faith can't just be spoken. It has to be proven.
Amen.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the brick sitting out on a pallet. Amen?
That's right.
That's going to create the building that was already in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The architect's design was sitting here on paper but had not come into fruition. Faith is the resources out on the pallets and sitting in the piles out there that are going to create here the building and the edifice that was already set. But if you don't have nothing here, you can't extend your faith to do anything.
Amen.
You got to see it before it is. Understand what it's going to be before it manifests. Huh? Y'all see that? So it's not my power and the might of my hand that have gained me this wealth. Huh? Look what it says in the 18th verse. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power,
yes,
to get wealth.
Yes.
That he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So then there are some things in our life then that God has already spoke to us. I said before, prosperity is not a problem because he promised us that.
Right, right.
Running after prosperity is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Money is not a problem. The love of money is the problem. You see? And what people do is that they fall in love with the things that money can buy. So they love getting money so that they can get the things. But they never fell in love with Jesus.
Mm.
They don't have a love for the Father. They show up at church and give a little, you know, offering and a little, you know, shout out to Jesus. You know, hey, thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm about to go get my car detailed, blah, 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 blah. Because that's really where your love is. We can't ask you to pick up the trash that you brought into the church. That's beneath you. We need somebody to come in here and clean up around here. No, we know when you love God. We know when you love the household of faith because you find yourself in there cleaning and looking and seeing what you can do. What's the Bible say? Whatsoever you find your hands to do, do it. Mm-hmm. In the name of the Lord. Amen. The Lord. So we don't have to tell you to do certain things when you see it. Instead of sitting there looking at the piece of paper, talking about somebody needs to pick that up. If you love God, you pick it up. Ooh, we need the trash taken out. If you love God, you just take out the trash. Don't be looking at stuff that needs to be done and talking about you love him, but you waiting on somebody else because that's beneath me. Okay, Jesus took and girded up himself, his apron and everything else, and then he got the pitcher and the basin, and he went to go wash the apostles' feet, the disciples' feet. And when he went to do it, they said, Lord, Peter said, Lord, you can't do that. No, you, we're here for you. He said, look, if I don't do this, you don't have no part.
That's what he said.
And look what Peter said. He said, but not just my feet, wash my head too. Revelation all in that statement. Because it's not just the way you walk, it's the way you think. Has to be kingdom minded and established.
That's where a lot of us mess up.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, God gives us the power to get wealth. When you read down through the rest of that, you'll see, let me just go down to the 20th verse. I'm just going to read it in your hearing so we can show you this. 19th verse, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish. So you shall perish because you would not be
obedient.
So you've been hearing me say the blessing of obedience. Can y'all see that now? Is it clear? So you shall perish because you will not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. God is constantly speaking to us. He's constantly saying things to us. We need to understand that he's not out to destroy us, but he's out here to cultivate us. And we got to come into an understanding of who he is and begin to walk according to that. As we do so, he's already given us the power to get well. I remember there are prophecies that the Lord has spoken concerning prophetess and I that we will be wealthy and that we would have money and things like that. And I said, thank you, Lord. But as we have grown and gone through different things that we've gone through, we understand that when wealth comes in, it's so that we can fund things in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. He'll make sure we're comfortable. We're comfortable because we're content. Amen. But there are things that we see that need financial backing. And God said that he would give us the ability to do those things. Amen. Amen. Come on, prophetess, go ahead and close us out with prayer.
Amen. Come on, let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your word. Father, help us to become obedient to your voice. Walk in the things that you have called us to walk into. Let not these words that were spoken by the man of God fall to the ground. But God, let them begin to put life into us. Let them begin to spring forth, God, the seeds spring forth, spring up a mighty harvest in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now, wash our minds, wash our thoughts, God, in the blood of Jesus. Some of us, God, we're walking different from your word because our thought life is not submitted to you. God, help us right now to think as you think. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Help us in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me for all my sins. I want to serve you. Come into my heart. I'll live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I pray that the Lord leads you to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church where you can be developed and mature. And go on to do the things that God called you to do. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you can learn more about us. If you would like a copy of our broadcast, or any of our services or sermons, let us know. Just simply tell us the date. Amen. We store them by date. So when you say last Thursday, we can go back to the last Thursday or whatever date that is and get that for you and have that ready to send to you. Just let us know. Give us your contact information. And if the Lord lays on your heart, a seed that you could sow to help us to continue on. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you.